So the major topic of today's shir is going to be understanding the Shitas Yachid of Rabbi Shmuel. Let's see, number one, how much of a Shitas Yachid it is, and trying to understand his Shita and the different variations of his Shita. Fine, then we'll move on to more of the stuff. Okay, let's just, we've read a couple times, but just to kick off the shir, to read the price on $9 Amalaf, which cites Rabbi Shmuel's Shita. Wanna go for it, Yudah?
Okay.
Just, you have a Hatanya?
V'hatanya, Rabbi Shmuel, minayin shem amru lola adam avod v'azara avodas kochavim fa'al taharog minayin sheyavod va'al yehoreg. So how do you know that it's yavod va'al yehoreg? So Talmud lomar v'chay bohem v'lo sheyamos bohem. Right, v'chay bohem, you don't die. Yachol afil v'farhes. Yeah, I imagine that's true even if it's farhes. Talmud lomar v'lo sechalu ashem kotri v'nekdashti. So in good.
Right, the din of Chil Hashem. So, right, if you read our Gemara, the price of Rabbi Shmuel, even the context in which this price is quoted by the Gemara, it seems pretty clear. It would seem, at least at first glance, that Rabbi Shmuel's din of Yavar Val Yeharik is limited to Avodah Zarah, meaning beyond the Shaar Mitzvos. What he's arguing with the classical Big Three is that he's only arguing on the inclusion of Avodah Zarah in the Big Four, and presumably it seems. That he agrees to the other two. Right? He agrees that there is Yahar Layavur by Shvichos Damim and Gilar Ayas, and he's just arguing by Avodah Zarah. Right? It comes clear because right when the Gemara first quotes the Big Three, it only challenges the inclusion of Avodah Zarah based on the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel. So that's definitely the classical understanding of Rabbi Shmuel. So before we go into the non-classical understandings of people who think that Rabbi Shmuel even argues on others of the Big Three, first you have to understand, this classical understanding. And the question is, it seems a little counterintuitive, right? We saw Shitos who thought that, and we were dealing with, the Makor of Avodah Zarah. For those people who apply Yahar Vayavar to Avodah Zarah, pointed out the Makor is Avas Hashem. There's no clear indication from the Pasuk that's referring to Avodah Zarah, right? A lot of Mepharshim are trying to deal with, how do you know it's referring to Avodah Zarah? So like a lot of, Ron, the Rebbeinu David, a bunch of people were showing him saying, because the Avera, which is the most against the notion of Avas Hashem, is Avodah Zarah. It's such a linchpin, Avera, basically, that if you were to pick one Avera which undermines Avas Hashem in the greatest manner, it would be Avodah Zarah. So at first glance, it seems counterintuitive that of all the Big Three, that Rabbi Shmuel would specifically exclude Avodah Zarah, which seems to be, of the three, seems to be the most chamor Avera of the three. Somehow that specific one that he's, excluding. Yeah.
Why are we assuming that that the opposite of Avas Hashem is equated? Why are we using that as the measurement for chomer, right? It's just that the previous pasuk was Shema Yisrael, and what's the antonym of Shema Yisrael?
That's Maran Chalava's first day. I was more utilizing, the Svara of the Ran and Rabbeinu David, who said, no, the reason why we pick Avodah Zarah is not because of the context of Shema Yisrael, but it's because if you were to pick one mitzvah or one Avera, which most clearly, substantially undermines Avas Hashem, is Avodah Zarah, based on the klal of Kol HaModeba, or Kol HaKoferba, Ki'ilu Modeba Kol HaTorah Kula. And the other side of that is Kol HaModeba, whoever agrees to Avodah Zarah, is Ki'ilu Kofer Kol HaTorah Kula. There's a lot of Mekoros, and that's what the Ran and Rabbeinu David are suggesting, is that basically, if you're trying to identify one linchpin Avera, would be Avodah Zarah. And that's the way they see Avodah Zarah, as the Avas Hashem pasuk referring to Avodah Zarah. But you're right, according to the Maran Chalava's pshat, the first day of the context of Shema Yisrael, you're right, it wouldn't be as much an indication.
According to the Ran, it's not based on context. It's specifically because of the Chomer. So the antithesis of Avas Hashem is the most Chomer that exists.
That's what he says. For sure. The only person who quotes the context was only the Maran Chalava. Yeah, right, here's the question. Of all these Averas, it seems like Avodah Zarah is the most chamor one, and therefore it seems strange that of all the of the Big Three, that he specifically exclude the most chamor one of Avodah Zarah. So two suggestions. So why Rabbi Shmuel would specifically exclude the avera of avodah zarah. So the first one is suggested by the Tosafot Rebbe. And the idea, I guess both answers are basically saying the same idea, and that is as follows. That while avodah zarah is the most chamor iser, what makes avodah zarah chamor is basically the rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's the fact that there's no greater rebellion and rejection of Hashem than by being oved someone else, as in avodah zarah. But the first answer of the Tosafot Rebbe is that when he's explaining the Tosafot Rebbe in avodah zarah and Dalad, in the context of explaining the shita of Rava, that someone who's oved me'ava me'ira is not chayiv misa, and basically aligns Rava with Rabbi Shmuel, and basically groups them both together and offers the following svara, and says that in the context of avodah zarah, if you were oved avodah zarah ba'onis, under duress, so that takes away the teeth of the very chomer of the iser. If the whole chomer is the rebellion, is the merit shebo, so then if the only reason why you're doing it is under duress, and it's clear the only reason why you're doing it is not because you're moved about avodah zarah, but you're trying to save yourself, whether it be case of Abba Vayira for Rava or Rabbi Shmuel, the ones misa, so basically the ones basically takes the teeth out of the chomer. But the first suggestion of the Tosafot Rebbe is that the reason why specifically avodah zarah is excluded is because, granted, right, when you're actually doing it, it's the most chamor, but under duress, that takes the teeth, that takes the essence out of the entire thing. Because basically what makes it chamor is the theological implications of it, but when you're doing it for non-theological purposes, but rather just under duress, basically it takes the chamor out of it.
I think also avodah zarah, the big three, is probably the most formal. So more room for something like Ones to come in and really knock it.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's the same. Yeah. The next approach is actually my follow along the time. It's a similar in orientation, but instead of saying like the Tosafot Rebbe that what internally undermines the avodah zarah is the fact is the context of Ones, but rather said to think about the context, let's say moving forward. The reason why, the reason why he applies the Chayban is that along the models of the reason why we're allowing you to perform avodah zarah is so that you have a chaybem, let's say the variety of, and therefore you're about to be mekayim mitzvos in the future. So therefore, if the only reason why you're being oved avodah zarah is in order to stay alive, in order to serve Hashem better, so that's also an internal undermining of the avodah zarah itself. Basically, both approaches are it's one nekuda, just two different versions of it. It's that, basically, avodah zarah is generally the most chamor iser when it functions as a merit, as a rebellion against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. But when you're able to take the merit out of the avodah zarah, so then the entire chomer falls away. And there's two ways to do it. So the Ritz version is that you remove the merit through the context of onis, because you're clearly only doing it not mishum merit, but rather just to save yourself. And the other version is that, the future context, when I'm doing it just in order to basically continue living in order to serve Hashem better, again, that internally undermines the merit of the original act of avodah zarah. So that would be two ways to explain, let's say, the normative understanding of Rabbi Shmuel, but why specifically he'd only remove avodah zarah from the list of the big three. Fine. So now going on to, normative understandings of Rabbi Shmuel. So the second option, this is only presented as a Havamina in Tosos, Rabbeinu Lachanan, and avodah zarah, and I couldn't assign it because no access to it. It's quoted in there's a sefer called Torah Rishonim, Psachim, so it quotes it there. I should have made a photocopy of it. But basically, here's a Havamina, he doesn't keep this Lamaskana, he has a Havamina that perhaps Rabbi Shmuel's din is not limited to avodah zarah, but he includes avodah zarah and Gila Arayos. So again, it's a Havamina, but again, the Havamina of Tosafot Rebbeinu Lachanan and avodah zarah, again, so again, the Nadal there is that Rabbi Shmuel argues not only on avodah zarah, but thinks that Yavor Bal Yehoreg also applies to Gila Arayos, but he admits, according to this version, to Yehoreg Bal Yavor by Ritzicha. And the Svara would seem to be that the uniqueness of Ritzicha is that you have the Svara of Maichasis, but everything else has the Chayben. I mean, the Ko'acha Kushya that we had earlier is when you were specifically, taking avodah zarah out, you have to understand why it's unique. But again, once you think that everything is subject to Yavor, Bal Yehoreg, except for Ritzicha, so then you can just explain that Ritzicha is unique because of the Svara of Maichasis. Let's say the third option in Rabbi Shmuel, and this is accepted by concrete Rishonim, even the Maskana, is that basically Rabbi Shmuel rejects Yehoreg Bal Yavor by all three. Basically rejects the notion of Yehoreg Bal Yavor Bitzina. It only applies the Har Vayavar to cases of Farhasya of Chil Hashem. Right? And according to this understanding, we'll document it in just a moment, the way these Rishonim will presumably understand the Braisa, right, and the Kasha on these alternative approaches is that, you know, the Braisa only quotes Avodah Zarah, you know, what's going on. So presumably they're going to understand is basically that you're quoting Avodah Zarah as the Chiddush, right? The Rishmol even applies the Chayim Behem to Avodah Zarah, which, as we pointed out in our Havminah earlier, which is the most Chamor of the three, so therefore Kol Shekein to the other three. Presumably that's the way they're going to learn. And just to, you know, document who says this, number one is presumably this is the, right, the Orza Ruah, meaning the Hagos, sorry, the Orza Ruah, as quoted by the Hagos Hashri, again, isn't specifically referenced Rabbi Shmuel, but it seems like when he says that, oh, you know, well, the Yehara Vayamar doesn't apply to any of the big three, seemingly that's his interpretation of Rabbi Shmuel. Again, he's not arguing on the entire the Gemara. It's clear that, you know, that we pass in Yehara Vayamar, you know, by the big three. Seems to be his take on Rabbi Shmuel is that Rabbi Shmuel rejects Yehara Vayamar by all three, and therefore he says that Bitsina, by any of these three, Yehara Vayamar does not apply. So that's the Orzeruah quoted in the Hagos Hashri. And if you look very closely at the Ran and Psachim, we were just referencing before, right? The Ran and Psachim, Date Rif, Vav Amin Aleph. This is the Ran who's dealing with the Makor of Avas Hashem and trying to understand, like we were referencing before, he's trying to understand, how do you know, right, according to Rabbi Eliezer, from the Pasuk of Yahavta Eis Hashem L'Kadav Nafshecha, that we're referring to Avodah Zarah. So, right, in that context, he references Rabbi Shmuel and says, oh, but according to Rabbi Shmuel, who he says applies v'chai behen to all mitzvos, he says that explicitly, we'll read it in just a moment, right, again, he understands Rabbi Shmuel is applying v'chai behen to all mitzvos, including all of the three, so therefore, how is he going to understand the pasuk of Avas Hashem? This must be just, you know, in the more the literary sense, don't take b'chol nafshecha literally, you have to give up your life, but rather you're supposed to, you know, just love God with all your soul, just as a way, you know, just as a way of describing, you know, how much you have to love Hashem. But again, it's clear from the Lashon that he says, al kulan, you know, hu omer v'chdem, and also the fact, if he held that any of the, you know, any of them, if he felt that Yerag Le'Yavar applied to any of the big three, it could have been that he could have just interpreted Avas Hashem as referring to one of them. So again, both from the Lashon and the fact that he says there's no, you know, there's no application of Avas Hashem b'chol nafshecha in a literal sense, it seems like he's understanding Rabbi Shmuel as basically applying the Chayim to all of the big three and really rejecting Yerag Le'Yavar to all three. Just to read the Lashon inside, right, there's the Ran and Pesachim there. It says, Yesh Lomer La'afuki midra bishmal, da amar sha'al kulan hu omer v'chai behem v'lo shi'amas behem. V'chulei, it seems to be very clear that he applies v'chai behem to all day three.
So you're saying that the Rosh, that the Ran also implies that he doesn't hold the lima from Gila Raios?
Within Rabbi Shmuel.
Yeah.
And
you get it.
And he says, al kulan mem v'chai behem, seems like v'chai behem applies to all 613. There are no exceptions to that. That's the way he formulates Rabbi Shmuel. And therefore he says, oh, once Rabbi Shmuel doesn't think that there are any averos for which you're Yehara Le'Yavar, therefore he says, and therefore you have to interpret the pasuk of Avas Hashem, Chol Nafshecha is not literally meaning the end of your life, because there are no averos to which the literal Chol Nafshecha applies.
If he still held up of Kibbutz Raios, would that change the way you would learn the Avodah?
It could. Because we've seen other Rishonim who, remember, this is the same, very important, this is the same Ran who in his question said, when we tried to understand Rabbi Eliezer, said, oh, why does Rabbi Eliezer know specifically that Avas Hashem refers to Avodah Zarah? Doesn't Avas Hashem refer to all mitzvahs? Right? So, if the Ran, again, that's the Ran's mentality. Ran's mentality is that Avas Hashem, at least theoretically, could apply to any mitzvah, you know, under the sun. So therefore, if that same Ran held with Rabbi Shmuel that, let's say, Arayos, subject to Yehara Le'Yavar, he presumably would be able to say, and therefore, that even Rabbi Shmuel learns, all right, Avas Hashem, the whole nafshecha literally is referring to all your life, and he thinks that, you know, that applies to Arayos.
Once he has the limud for the Bazar Gold, but the Narrow Sasa Dabar, what would he?
That's what we talked about last time, that it could be that once you have that drasha of Lanar Lososa Dover to take it out of the Chaybem, could be then it becomes included in that position, as we discussed two shir ago. Remember the Chalava and, you know, the the Ramban, according to the Sheiran and Ayin Hey, and the Smak, they all basically learn Abbas Hashem as being as referring to all three.
Even according to them, they still had at least one Kiddush within Baal Tishol and Kechel being the Zara, that you don't have a separate source for.
That doesn't seem to be required. Yeah, you don't need that.
Exactly, they would need that.
I don't see why you need it. Because once you understand those these other sources, it's just taking something out of the klal of a chaybehem, and then you think that the mela goes into Avas Hashem.
That's after Avas Hashem is written.
Okay, I'm not sure. Could be hard. But either way, meaning for all intents, what we care about is that the Ran's understanding of Rav Shmuel, he clearly says al kulan who omer of a chaybehem. So again, I was just adding that with Shittas it also works out with the rest of the Ran, but that's not necessary.
How does the Ran understand my chazus?
Meaning within Rav Shmuel? Yeah. I mean, how do you reject Mechazes? Yeah. You're saying it's so strong.
Plus, like, you say Mechazes is not like Rashi.
Yeah,
I think
it's Mishnah. Exactly.
Because it's so strong in a lot of cases where it applies.
Yeah. 1,000
versus 1.
Yeah, for sure. But again, but in the case where it does apply, though.
Meaning
1-on-1. Yeah, 1-on-1. Yeah. You still have the strong question. But yeah, that's a good question. Sorry, another hand up? Okay, fine. So we basically just discussed three different versions of Rav Shmuel and the implications of them. So before moving on, the one issue you have to discuss within Rav Shmuel is basically how much of a Shitas Yafet is Rav Shmuel, right? Rav Shmuel is a Tana. The question is, are there any normative Amorim who seem to align themselves with Rav Shmuel? So this brings us, even before seeing the Rishonim's take on this, this brings us to the Shita of Rava in Avodah Zarah, in Dalet Amarav, right? So the Gemara there is in the context of Nevad, right? Trying to understand in which cases of Avodah Zarah, let's say Avodah Zarah Ba'ones, which cases of Avodah Zarah Ba'ones trigger the din of Nevad. So in that context, Rava has a line where he seems to be mechalek between Farhesia and Sina to say that, presumably, it seemed to say, that the only time the din of Bihar Mayavur for Avodah Zarah applies is b'farhesya, based on Lo Sechalu, based on Kiddush Hashem. But Bitzina, the din of Yehar Le'avor does not apply. Which again, at first glance, seems to be exactly like Rabbi Shmuel Shita, that really the Chai Behem applies Bitzina, and the only time you have Yehar Le'avor, at least in the context of Avodah Zarah, is b'farhesya. So let's just see, just to read the lashon of Rava inside. Rava says as follows: that al kol hayu bichlal lo satim. Like originally, right? You have a lav of avodah zarah, which covers every case of avodah zarah. Then ukishaparat lecha hakasa v'chaybem. Then comes along the pasuk of v'chaybem, lo sheyamas bem, yatsa ones. That tells you in the case of ones misa, where your life is at stake. So that is doche the lav of avodah zarah. But then v'hadar kasa rechmanu v'lo sechalu eshim kadoshi afilu b'ones. Then the factor of Chil Hashem comes along and says, wait a second, you know, you should be, the factor of Chil Hashem, you know, should compel a person not to be Oved Avodah Zarah, even bonus. So basically, according to Rabbi Avastira, on one hand, the Chai Behem says you should be Oved Avodah Zarah during Onis Misa, but Lo Sechalu, Kiddush Hashem, Chil Hashem says you shouldn't be Oved. So what is it? How do you, you know, align these two drashos? HaKetzad, how do you, you know, basically resolve the steer? Habitzina, habitfarhesia. So Rava says, you know, the chiluk is farhesia and tzina. Basically, the fact of chol Hashem applies to farhesia, therefore yehari layavur. But bitzina sounds like the chai bam applies. So at first glance, this seems to be, right, you have this prominent shita of Rava, who seems to be aligning with the shita of Rabbi Shmuel. So in fact, there's a group of Rishonim who say, yes, Rava is the Paskeving like Rabbi Shmuel. So it seems to be a pure Shita's Yachid, right, is not such a lone Shita after all, because Rabba passes like him. So this is the Tosas Rid in Avodah Zarah Nedalit, right, explicitly says, right, Dira Maskel Lokasha, actually they're both Lokasha, this is just the Lama Kuf one, where the first one is the first piece of the Tosas Rid on Nedalit Amun Aleph, explicitly says that the way to understand Rabba is that Rabba is Paskeving like Rabbi Shmuel, like the basic understanding of Rava. And when you look closely at Tosfos in Sanhedrin Samach Aleph Amud Beis, it seems like Tosfos also interprets Rava in Avodah Zarah as aligning with the Shita of Rabbi Shmuel, as not applying Yehar LaYavor to Avodah Zarah B'tzina, right? And therefore Tosfos But the Amach Alchem Beis entertains the possibility that perhaps that's the basis of Shitas Rav on Samach Alchem Beis. Maybe the reason why there is a Ptur Misa in the case of, you know, Oved, Avodah Zarah, Me'ava, Me'ira, it's because Rav L'Shitasa, that it doesn't apply Yahari Vayavor to Avodah Zarah, but Tzim. So again, Tosas ends up rejecting it and says, no, it can't be, because but the reason why he rejects it is because this doesn't align with the continuation with the Hemshech of the Sugya. Because, right, if you think that the basis of Rava is Yeshita's Rabbi Yishmael, so in the Hemshech of the Sugya, that it basically quote Brisos as Stiros to Rava, you could just simply say, Rava is Rabbi Yishmael, and these Brisos are going to Rabbi Eliezer. So the fact that the Gemara doesn't give those answers, or the facts are, the fact that, you know, the fact that the Gemara asks these kashas and doesn't just isn't just docha simply by saying Harav Yishmael, Harav Eliezer, it seems like the shita of Rava here is not limited to his shita in Avodah Zarah of aligning with Rabbi Yishmael. But again, the implication is that Rava in Avodah Zarah is aligning with Rabbi Yishmael, and it's just that his shita here can even align, let's say, with, you know, with others as well. So again, both Talmud and Tosfos Sanhedrin at least seems to entertain the possibility of interpreting Rava aligning with Rabbi Yishmael. But this brings us to Tosfos in Avodah Zarah, who emphatically, right, Chas v'Shalom, says it's impossible that Rava would paskin like Rabbi Yishmael. He says Chas v'Shalom that would be the case. He's discussing the Mishnah, it's a little strange. But like Tosfos don't normally just, you know, Chas v'Shalom and not bring any riyas to it. He doesn't bring any riyah. He just says Chas v'Shalom that Rava is paskin like Rabbi Yishmael. So, in the context of this, it's just remember my father-in-law mentioned in the context of this Tosfos, it's like a broader discussion that is like a that if you look at the totality of the Sugya of Yehar LaYavar, is a very interesting, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Say orientation or tendency between, let's say, the Chachmei Ashkenaz and the Chachmei Svarim. Right, basically, the Chachmei Ashkenaz in general are much more accepting and much more expansive in regards to Yahar Vayavor, in contrast to the Chachmei Sfarad, who are very limiting. The perfect example is like, is there a possibility of, let's say, voluntary Yahar Vayavor for the Shar Mitzvahs? Right? We say generally the Din is Yavor Vayaharik, really should be the Chaybam. The question is, can a person give up his life instead of being over one of the Shar Mitzvahs? So the Chachmei Sfarad, the Rambam, and the Ramban are very strong. In fact, the Chas v'Shalom, there's a chas v'shalom to give up your life when you're not supposed to. Because limiting Yahar Vayavor is limited to where it applies, and v'chai v'hem is a chiv. If v'chai v'hem applies, it's a chiv. V'chai v'hem, there's no option. That's why the Rambam says mischai benafsho, and the Ramban Mechamas there says things all these psukim. It's an issue of suicide. But there's a lot of evidence amongst the Chachmei Ashkenaz, if you saw at the end of the Hagos Ashri, the Smak says this, but it says, no, maybe there's a heter of Yahar Vayavor, even by the Shar Mitzvahs. Again, seems to be an orientation that, and I think there are a lot of, you know, scholars who write about this, you know, Chaim Soloveitchik writes about this, Jacob Katz, a lot of like scholarship on the topic that because the Ashkenaz communities were much more willing and open to Yahar Vayavor, so that, you know, impacted, you know, the mindset of the Bali Tosfos. Contrast to, you know, to the Sfarad, you know, communities in Spain, which, you know, the whole issue with Muranos, people where there were issues that people were not Yahar Vayavor, and that impacted. So basically, in short, what seems to be like an emotional reaction of Tosfos is Chas v'Shalom, the passing like Rabbi Yishmael, could be that it was so steeped in the Ashkenazic, you know, Jewry. I mean, since there's so many in Ashkenaz who are Yahar Vayavor regarding Avodah Zarah, basically Chas v'Shalom that there'd be a normative shita, that basically Rabbi Yishmael is a normative shita, and therefore they would say, yeah, Chas v'Shalom, no, there's no way to interpret Rava as aligning with the shita Ziyachid of Rabbi Yishmael. It's only Rabbi Yishmael. There's no one else who says that. Of course, there's Yahar Vayavor by Avodah Zarah. Fine, that just aside. But then the question that Tosfos in Avodah Zarah has to contend with is that, if in fact there's Yahar Vayavor, if in fact Rava agrees to Yahar Vayavor, even Bitsina for Avodah Zarah, so then why is, you know, Rava in the Gemara limiting Losa Avdeim to Farhesya and seems to be applying the Chaybem to Bitsina and only applies, you know, the Yahar Vayavor of the Chil Hashem variety to the Farhesya? So how do you understand why Rava seems to be taking, you know, the Rabbi Shmuel's line of thinking, if in fact you think chas v'shalom, then you really pass against like Rav Shmuel. So Tosfos was there in Avodah Zarah. Again, this is Dima Maskel Habitzina, offers two suggestions. The first suggestion, this is much more technical, is that in the Hanami, Rava paskins against Rav Shmuel, but he wanted to, you know, align the sugya even with Rav Shmuel. So therefore, in a Hanami, you know, the memra of Rava is, you know, the shita of Rav Shmuel. He just doesn't paskin like that. But the second shita quoted in Sinai, this is the shita we really have to. Second shita quoted in Tosos, this is the shita we really analyze, is the second day. This is quoted in Tosos as Harav Moshe Mikutzi. This is actually the Smag. Right? So the Smag says the following, very bichinish. It tries to really even align Rava Shita, which seems to be very, very, very Rabbi Shmuel like, with the shita of Rabbi Eliezer. So he says, as anyone remember how the Smag sets it up? How you understand the sheet of Rava is even aligning with the Rebbe Eliezer?
So he learns like Rabbi Shmuel in terms of the Chaim in terms of the Asara, however, he still holds the essay of Rabbi Eliezer.
Exactly. Does anyone have the Avodah Zarah? It's important to read this inside. You understand, right? I have it, but I just want to read inside. Computer. Just to read inside, it's very important because you have to analyze also. But you're 100% right, he's trying to understand, he's being mechalek between where Lo Sa'abdeim applies and where Yehar Vayabar applies. I'm going to say that even in Bitsina, in Echanami, Yehar Vayabar applies, but that's Midin, we're going to say Avas Hashem, where Avas Hashem, sorry, the pasuk, the mechayev of Avas Hashem applies to Bitsina, despite the fact that the lav of Lo Sa'abdeim does not apply. And it's only in the case of Parheskia where Lo Sa'abdeim applies, based on the factor of Chosha. We're going to have to analyze that. So you see where he puts it?
Mori Dodi or Rav Moshe Mekutzi Sefer HaMitzvah Shekhovar Kosav Shekhivar Kosav Sov Perek and Sov Mora Vizos Shekhovar Rava Perek Rebbe Yishmai Alo Polik Alei Rebbe Yochanan.
Remember, Rebbe Yochanan is the Baal and Shita of Yehar Layavar for the big three, right? Right, so basically he's not arguing with, you know, the big three. Allah Rabbi Yerusha.
Allah Rabba, Hakol Hayu B'chal Votol Deim, Bein Lazar B'chal Yisra, Hu Omer.
Right, so originally, the Lav of Losa Avdeim, the Lav of Rezar, covers all cases.
Jo Omer B'chai B'hen, Yotza Omis, Yitzena, Mikol B'chol.
So then, right, the Chai Behem, in the case of Tzina, comes along, and Zmatche, the Lav.
Aval ha, modi rabba, di'ika asei, b'kol nafshecha, she'ish umtorat, o afilu b'kol onsa. Kida amar yiliezer, ala divaisa.
Yeah, but it's so right, the stack, right, no, that's next. But right, despite the lack of losa avdeim, yet there's a mechayel of the Har Layaver for a Avodah Zarah Bitsina based on what?
Based on the
exactly. But then
Kishu Omer Los Galu Ahadre Lechlaver the Hainu Ones Kiparhesia Bein Lazara Bilamisa the whole Rabba.
That's it, right? And then but by Bifarhesia where the factor of Los Chalu where Chil Hashem applies and somehow that rehabilitates the lab of Losa Avdeim. So again, this is a very important, you know, shita to understand. Basically, right, so right, structurally what the Smag is trying to do is trying to understand how even Rava can align with the normative shita of applying Yehar Layavar Bitsina to Avodah Zarah. The question is like a very interesting construct in terms of how, you know, the Avas Hashem applies Bitsina despite the lack of lav, and then somehow the Farhesia, the fact of Chil Hashem, rehabilitates the lav. So you have to just break this down. And there are two important assumptions here, right? Assumption number one is that the mechayev of Yehar V'yavur for Avodah Zarah, Bitsina, is the factor of Avas Hashem, despite the lack of technical, basically, despite the lack of lav of Losa Avdeim. So again, this is very important for our analysis earlier, right? Like in Pashiyurim, we're developing that the mechayev of Avas Hashem can expand beyond the technical lavim, beyond the technical chum, or at play. So this is a great expression of that, where you have a case where Avas Hashem is Mechai Yehar Layamber for, right, Avas Hashem in the Avodah Zarah variety, even though on the books, right, the lab of Avodah Zarah has been completely nitches. Completely nitche. Right? So again, the assumption that you can have the Mechayev of Avas Hashem without the actual Isser of Avodah Zarah, again, confirms a lot of our analysis earlier, that the Mechayev of Avas Hashem can expand beyond the actual Gedarim of the Lav at hand. That's number one assumption. Second assumption, which is more difficult to contend with, is why, right, sorry, the second assumption is that Bifarhesia, where the factor of Chilul Hashem applies, that somehow rehabilitates the Lav Alosa Avdeim. The question we have to understand is, how does it do that? And why is it somehow when Chilul Hashem applies, that somehow rehabilitates the Lav Alosa Avdeim? Right? Specifically, in contrast to, let's say, Avas Hashem, I mean, when we say that Avas Hashem applies, that doesn't rehabilitate. So again, it's not just, I was like thinking of you, Aaron. Right? Do you remember if you, when the first year you discussed this idea of perhaps the, I think Asher also was mentioning this idea of somehow Chilul Hashem, you know, rehabilitating the Chumras HaYisrael. The way you explained this specifically was that if Chai Behem works in the Torah's Dechuya, so then, as long as Chilul Hashem comes along and is Mechayev you Bufoel, so then that Memela is going to undermine the Dechuya. Right? So according to that type of understanding, then that should apply by the Avas Hashem as well. Because as long as you have the Harad Vayavor Bifoel, so whether Mechayim of that be Chilul Hashem or Avas Hashem, either way, you have a Chiyuv of Bifoel, so that should undermine the Torah's Techuya triggered by the Mechayim. So therefore, you still have the very strong question of what specific, why is it specifically that Chilul Hashem rehabilitates the Lav and Avas Hashem does not? You have a question? But again, it's structurally similar to what you were suggesting also in the Rambam, where you can have this interplay between Chilul Hashem and Chumras HaIsser. It's that idea. The question specifically within the Smag, you have to understand why specifically Chilul Hashem triggers the rehabilitation. Everyone understand the question? Okay. So a suggestion, again, it's a Chiddush, is basically to understand really V'chai Behem in light of a svara we were saying earlier, right? So if you understand that, remember, the construct here is that, right, V'chai Behem is Doche, and then comes along Chilul Hashem to rehabilitate. So it could be that if you understand that the reason why, let's say, the Lav of Avodah Zarah, the Lav of Avodah Zarah is, right, is Nitches, originally, in the context of Ones Misa, it's like the svara, like, let's say, the Tosafot read earlier. It's that the Makom Ones, in the context of an Ones, it basically, you know, pulls the rug under, you know, the Avodah Zarah. That, but in the context of Ones, because the person is doing it Machmas Ones and not Machmas Kabbalas Elokus, so that basically takes the Avodah Zarah out of the act of Avodah Zarah. There's no longer, you know, there's no longer the Chomer of serving another entity when you're doing it not because of Kabbalas Elokus, but rather Machmas Ones. But what Chilul Hashem does, perhaps, is that before Chilul Hashem. So right, just alone, just based on the fact that this person was Ovid of Avodah Zarah, but Ones, we're saying the fact that the context of Ones takes away the Losa Avdeim, because it's no longer viewed, like it's no longer viewed as an act of Avodah Zarah, because that the person's intentions are completely not for the shame of Avodah Zarah. But when the Avodah Zarah is being done before Hesya, where there's a factor of Chilul Hashem and there's a perception that this act of Avodah Zarah is, right, this Maisa of Avodah Zarah is an actual Lav, violation of the Lav of Lo Sa'av Deim, so perhaps that perception rehabilitates the Lav of Avodah Zarah. So what was viewed as not being an act of Avodah Zarah, because there's no Kabbalas Elokus and it was just Bitzina, the public perception, the Chilul Hashem of associated with this act, basically rehabilitates and redefines that act as an act of Lo Sa'av Deim. So perhaps specifically, the Chilul Hashem, which is perception-based, is going to be basically rehabilitate, you know, and basically confer the shame of Avodah Zarah on this act, which, when done, not barabim, which is done b'tzina, when it's just based on the other person's intentions, lacks the shame of avodah zarah.
How does perception make things into avodah zarah?
Yes, the chiddush, again, it's a good question. The chiddush seems to be that, what I'm trying to explain is that if the whole basis of the dechias lo sa'avdim is based on the fact that there's no shame of avodah zarah here, so perhaps the chiddush is that once there's a perception of avodah zarah, that basically re-injects the shame of avodah zarah to the action. It's a chiddush.
It's not like the last answer to Tosfos was said that everyone perceives it out. Avodah zarah may have me, or else even if you do it, it's really avodah zarah.
Yeah. So this is saying that while that the fact of chilul Hashem basically counters that. Mm-hmm. So we're saying that on a tzinah level, the context of onus removes the shame of avodah zarah from. But when there's a perception of avodah zarah, so perhaps that perception of avodah zarah, grants the shame of avodah zarah, the losa abdeim back in. That's a suggestion. Open to any other.
Yeah, maybe that's similar to kibbutz alei ve'eloah, right? That when you take your acts, to a certain extent, then you can no longer say that it's
the chiddushir is that this is the outside perception being kovel.
Right, but isn't part of kibbutz alei ve'eloah presumably is, well, you only did that because of Avraham Avinu also, but once you've taken it that far, then that might also be somewhat perception, right?
Could be. Okay, so again, to chiddush, I'm open to any other suggestions in terms of why specifically. Again, structurally, what he's saying is that lo sechalo rehabilitates. I'm just trying to explain, meaning. Why it basically tried to explain the dechia of losa adem in such a way which perhaps would be open to being to a rehabilitation through a perception. So again, if the dechia was based on the fact that there was no shame of avodah zarah from the person's perspective, then perhaps when there's a perception that this is avodah zarah, perhaps that rehabilitates it. But a suggestion. Okay, fine. So in the last couple minutes that we have, I'd like to discuss an issue. As follows. Basically, up until now, Mr. Adkan, we just discussed, the big three, right? The Har Bayam applied to the various chamuros. First, we discussed, the big three in general, the various chamuros in general. Then we went to, three distinct makaros of each, and analyzed, the implications thereof. And then we went to Rabbi Shmuel. So now, when it's all said and done, when it comes out, that at least according to the normative approach, the non-Rabbi Shmuel approach, is that you have, you have the big three, where Yehari Bayavar applies, and then you have Shar of Eros, where V'chai Behem applies. That's right? So you have the Yehari Bayavar for the big three, and then V'chai Behem for Shar of Eros. So the question that we have to now ask, and we'll see it becomes very important, is what is the exception and what's the rule? And whenever you have Makoros for both sides of things, right, you have Makoros for Yehari Bayavar for the big three, and you have Makor of V'chai Behem for Yavar V'Yehari for the Shar Mitzvahs. The question is, what is the status quo and what's the exception? And we're going to see that it becomes very important, if you already tell where I'm going, the context of Bnei Noach, where you have neither. Right? So depending on what was the status quo and what's the exception, will then be Koveya by Ben Noach, where Bnei Noach have neither, so therefore you don't have the exception, you're going to revert to the status quo. So we're going to have to see, and the question just structurally is as follows. Do you view, let's say, mitzvos in general as having the internal capacity to be mechayev a person to give up their life in order to, to mechayev the mitzvah? And therefore, according to that perspective, it's really Yehari Bayavar is the rule. Because really, just from the perspective of the mitzvos themselves, the mitzvos have an internal ability to be mechayev. And v'chai behem is the exception. When it comes to shar mitzvos, there's an exception is that, no, in these cases, v'chai behem applies. We'll analyze both these sets in a second. Or you say, no, really, from perspective of the mitzvos themselves, mitzvos do not have the capacity to v'chai of you to give up your life. So therefore, really, v'chai behem is the rule. And the exception is that you have certain averos where Yehar Bayavor applies. So we're going to just analyze each of these options and plug it in to the Bnei Noach case and the broader implications for V'chai Behem. Okay, so each option alone. So again, first option is that the status quo is Yehari Bayavar. This is it to say that every mitzvah has the internal capacity to mechayev you to give up your life in order to either mechayim it or in order not to violate it. According to this approach, mechayev behem, again, is the exception. So again, this option, which views Yahar Bayavur as the status quo, seems to align very much with the Havamina in Tosos Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Right? If you look at Tosos Ayin Dalet Amud Beis, the bottom Tosos, Ben Noach, if you refer to it, or in the context of Ben Noach, he too seems to assume that status quo is that Yahar Bayavur should apply as long as you do not have the exception of Chai Behem. And therefore, Ben Noach, who lack the exception of Chai Behem, will therefore be subject to the status quo psak of Yahar Bayavur. That's the assumption of Tosos in the Havamina. Anyone want to read it? You want to have it open? Go for it. Yeah, Asher? Jumazo Benoch? Yeah?
The Chai Behem, the astrologer.
Sorry, time out. Right, the Gemara, the context of the Gemara is Mesupik about whether Yahar Bayavur applies to Ben Noach. And then Tosos is asking, what's the Suffolk about? Shouldn't it be Pasha? Sorry.
Okay.
So he's basically saying that as long as you don't have a chai behem, that din b'yahar b'yavor applies. As if to say, remember, because you're going to see from the Havim, from the Maskana, but it's clear that you know, the Mekoros of Yahar b'yavor don't apply to Goy either. So this Tosos is clearly assuming that the rule, you don't even need a makor for Yahar b'yavor, that really all you need a makor for is the chai behem. And presumably, according to this understanding, the need for Mekoros for the big three are to tell you that, oh, the factor of Chai Behem is limited. So again, really, the Din Yahar Bayavur is based on the internal capacity of, you know, the status quo understanding of mitzvos, that the chiyuv of mitzvos apply even when you have to take your life. Oh, you have an exception, comes along Chai Behem regarding certain mitzvos that does not apply. And the Mekoros of Yahar Bayavur are just to tell you, by the way, don't apply that exception of Chai Behem to the big three. But really, the mechayev of Yahar Bayavur for the big three is just, you know, the status quo understanding of the internal capacity for mitzvahs. And that would explain the Havamina Tosfos. It's important that this understanding also has an impact on v'chayev. My father-in-law was suggesting this. There's always a very big chakira in terms of v'chayev, pikuach nefesh, right? Is that doche isurim b'toras d'chuya or b'toras hutra? All right, one way of conceptualizing Dechuya versus Hutra is that Hutra is basically saying that B'chiyai Gavna, the mitzvah, does not apply Kihuzeh. Dechuya says that the mitzvah applies, but there's an overriding factor. All right, so according to this first approach, that the internal, right, internally from the perspective of mitzvahs do apply even in Bikuach Nefesh situations, and it's just an outside factor of a Chai Behem, which comes along and says, oh, under certain circumstances, you know, we override the mitzvah. So according to that understanding, the chai behem, the kuach nefesh, is working b'toras d'chuya. Because really, the mitzvos, from a status quo perspective, really apply in all situations, even the kuach nefesh, and it's just as chiddush of the chai behem that in certain circumstances, we override the mitzvah, which really should apply here, with this, you know, this counter pressure of the chai behem of the kuach nefesh. Again, so this understanding of Yahar Bayavur as being, you know, the status quo impacts the nature of the Chai Behem, the nature of the Heter of Pikuach Nefesh as only being B'toras D'chuyah. So now, the second approach. Now the second approach is the complete opposite. That really, the status quo is Yavor of Al Yahari. This is the Chai Behem. That really, from the perspective of mitzvos generally are not Mechayiv you to give up your life. And therefore, according to this approach, the exception are the dinim of Yahar Bayavur by the big three. So again, the status quo is v'chai behem, and therefore if you didn't have any mekoros, you would assume that you would not have to give up your life. With the only exception is where you have the psukim of Yahar Bayavur. So this seems to align with the maskana of Tosos, because we'll see. Read it right now. Go for it. So what is he in essence saying?
The only reason we had to have Chai Behem is not because the default Yahar Bayavur, just because since we also had these other mitzvahs, we would have had a Havamina of Yahar Bayavur to override the default by everything.
Exactly. So it's structurally similar to what we were saying before. So according to this approach, right, it's clear that the default, the status quo, is Yahar Bayavur, and therefore the exception is miharag mayavur, and therefore v'chai behem is only needed to just limit the exception. It's not that you need v'chai behem to establish the idea; you just need v'chai behem just to limit the exception of miharag mayavur. And therefore, Tosas is saying in the context of the Bnei Noach, where you have neither v'chai behem nor the gimel averos, status quo is that you shouldn't have to give up your life. And again, just playing it out according to this approach, that right. Right, from the perspective of the internal capacity of mitzvahs, that mitzvahs are not mechayev of you to give up your life. So according to this, v'chay behem, which I guess is just reinforcing the default, is really b'torah's hutra, because it's in essence saying that from the internal capacity, just from the perspective of the mitzvahs do not apply b'malkam pikuach nefesh. It's not that they apply but you have an overriding factor. It's that they do not apply at all, and therefore that would align with the hutra approach. So again, when all is said and all said and done, where you have, bekoros for both Yehar v'Yavur and for Yavur v'Yehar, you have to always, again, whenever you have, bekoros for both sides, the question is, which is really the rule and which is the exception? In this case, you're going to have a default, and then the exception and the makor, which seems to be the rule, is really not really establishing the rule, because the rule is really a default, and that, that makor is really just needed to, limit the exception. Again, this is going to have implications in cases like Bnei Noach, where there are no makoros, and have implications on the nature of the exceptions, like in the case of the v'chai behem, whether it's going to be working b'toras hutra or d'chuya. Fine. Not. Oh, there are a lot of not for you. Meaning, the whole sugya, whether should you avoid it if possible? Let's say efshai de ketanim or goyim, all these types of there's a whole sugya in terms of, in general, the difference between hutra and tuchiyah is that because according to hutra, there's no counter pressure at all, so therefore, the heter is going to be expanded. If you think it's just tuchiyah, really, the iser is really present, you just have an overriding factor, so then, the heter is going to be much more. That's a whole discussion. Did I expect to get this far? So just, I guess, one last thing is, right, once we're on the topic of v'chai behem, right, and discuss, right now we just discussed whether v'chai behem versus yehar v'yavur, what's the exception and what's the rule. But another issue pertaining to v'chai behem is just understanding what exactly is the factor of v'chai behem. I guess this is really an overlap of what we did before in terms of the 2 points in my notes. But in terms of whether the factor of v'chai behem is... One second. Okay. This overlaps to our discussion yesterday. But in terms of just the understanding of v'chai behem, based on the Yad Ramah, pointed out that ends up being, this is really what we discussed before. The question of v'chai behem is v'chai behem about kedusha sachayim, or is it really about just an internal din of mitzvos? It's just a way of, being mekayim or mitzvos. Which is the one thing I just want to point out now is that it's interesting when you think about the Yad Ramah and that question in light of just the interplay between you have v'chai behem being doche and aver. It's basically saying because v'chai behem we are doche a mitzvah. And the question is what's going on there? Is that like pressure counter pressure, or is that like an internal undermining? So again, if you view v'chai behem as being focused on just the value of life, so then what's going on is that it's like a pressure counter pressure. On the one hand of v'chai behem, we're saying kedusha sachayim, the value of life, overrides the value of the particular mitzvah at hand. But if you think about like the second day in the Yad Ramah, that the value to v'chai behem is really just the value of more kiyum mitzvos, so then really when you're looking at it, it's not pressure counter pressure. It's really more just it's a question of mitzvos. As an internal consideration of which strategy is the best way to mekayim mitzvos. And v'chai behem is basically a way of saying that, it's better, as the Yad Ramah says, it's like a chalal Shabbos achas idea, kadesh yishmor Shabbos is harbe. It's not the end of that, pikuach nefesh is the overriding Shabbos. It's just that from an internal Shabbos perspective, it's worth it to us from the Shabbos perspective to mechal this Shabbos to allow for more kiyumim of Shabbos later. So too for the Yad Ramah, the understanding of v'chai behem being docha a mitzvah, is that we're willing to be docha this mitzvah in order to allow for more kumei mitzvahs later. So again, those two understandings of the chai behem, whether the chai behem is based on just kedushas achayim or it's based on kumei mitzvahs, really impacts just the way you analyze the pressure counter pressure between a v'chai behem and the mitzvah that's being docha. Is it that counter pressure, the kedushas achayim as one factor is overriding a different factor of a mitzvah, or is it really all one factor of mitzvahs and just like an internal strategy? The question is, what's the best way to facilitate kumei mitzvahs? Is better to violate one mitzvah in order to have a life of multiple kumei mitzvahs? I guess we'll stop here because we never really finished early before, and we'll pick up with Avi's Raya on Sunday.